Blog Talk Radio.
Unwrap. Hidden Beach. What?
Well, good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome once again to the PRF table. I'm one of your hosts, Brother Dunlap. Also hosting beside me is Sister Adia Sanders. How are you doing this evening, my cousin?
I'm doing great.
And let me just say it up front, we also have a brother who called in a couple of times, and we just are so grateful that he's with us, Brother DeWine Lee. Thank you, my brother, for being with us, and we look forward to all your contributions this evening as well.
Thank you for inviting me again.
Amen. So let me tell you where we're at, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to a show. This tonight's show is called Taxes and Ministers, and I kind of struggled a little bit just to let you know with what to call tonight's show because I didn't want everybody to think that we're just going to be talking about taxes and also just talking about ministers. But as you see, as we get ready to get into the show, the questions that we believe God has given us for tonight, you'll see how it's not going to be just about taxes and ministers, but it's also going to be about the church as well. So just sit back and relax, and we really want everybody to join into the conversation. A couple of weeks ago, since this is tax season, we was really placed upon our heart really to just deal with taxes because we know people are in this mode of filing taxes and doing things with their taxes and in regards to tax refunds. So we're going to continue on tonight by dealing with taxes and ministers, and it's going to spill over into the church. Adia, there was a brother who told me, a bishop out of Atlanta, he said, "My brother, before you pull teeth, numb the gums." So tonight's show, we're going to just do the numbing because we're not going to be able to get into all the technical intricacies of tax law and anything of that nature. We're really just trying to focus on a couple of questions to get everybody geared up. And let me tell you why I think that's important. We're going to have in a couple of weeks, hopefully, a brother who has been dealing with taxes and ministry and taxes and churches and taxes and pastors for about 24 years and has extensive training. So we're going to get this brother on the show in a couple of weeks. But, of course, because he is a CPA and this is what he does all year round, we understand that it is a very busy time for him. We're going to allow him, when he comes onto the show, Brother Fernando Verdry, we're going to allow him to be able to go into all the technical aspects of it. And one of the things that he said was, ministers are not going to want to hear what he has to say. And I said, that's exactly why we're having the show tonight, so we can kind of get people geared up for it and hopefully allow God to do something on people's hearts, especially us as ministers, so that we can hear what this brother said, because it's really about us being proactive versus reactive. I'm sure Wesley Snipes would have loved to have somebody to have been proactive in his life versus reactive when he was dealing with on the other side of the law. So, Sister Dia, did you have anything that you wanted to bring to the table as respect to what we talked about on last week's show?
No, not at this time.
Okay. So let me tell you, we have three questions. Go ahead. All right, we had three questions that we were actually going to deal with tonight on the show, and perfectly we'll be able to get to all three of them. The first question that we want to bring out and ask is, how important is where we as ministerial leaders have our taxes prepared? And what are the implications, whether they're positive or negative? And Adia, I'll come to you. The reason I think this question is kind of important is because we have to be careful as ministers who we associate with. And if I'm not willing to associate with somebody, then maybe it's not good enough for you as somebody who is under my following or just my brother or my sister not to be dealing with them as well. And I think there's sometimes guilt by association, which I'll kind of reserve a little bit of my comments on this question. But Sister Dia, Brother DeJuan, we'll let y'all just jump into it and take a stab at it. And anybody who's listening, you don't have to wait. You can press 1 on your dial pad and we'll bring you into the conversation. So the first question for tonight is, how important is it the place where we as ministers have our taxes prepared, and what are some of the implications, whether they be positive or negative?
Hey, this is Brother DeJuan.
Yes, sir.
It's very important when you look at it, because that minister, those ministers, they carry a lot of weight, you know, within that congregation, within that community. So when you associate yourself with, you know, certain people that are doing taxes that may not be following the law by the letter, then they're pretty much you're saying, hey, I'm okay with this, and then it goes totally against what you're sending in the pulpit saying. So we definitely have to be careful, you know, because there's so many tax companies out there that are getting in trouble. And I'm not trying to put, you know, because they're legitimate businesses, but when you got people out there getting in trouble and doing things illegally, and they see the minister, I mean, I know we all saw what happened with, they just had a suit settled with Pastor Eddie Long's church down at New Birth, where they were paying attention to what he was doing. So because, hey, the pastor says it's okay, I brought him to the church, and all of a sudden you had all these people start investing based under the guise of, hey, he should be okay, but then come to find out he was wrong. You know, it could have been that, you know, Minister Long had no idea that something was going awry, but the fact is he still nobody remembers the name of that company. The only thing people remember is Pastor Long had his parishioners go into that business. So now it's looking bad on the church, and now the people that are not of the religious cloak, they're sitting there saying, hey, that's why I don't fool with the church folks. That's what they do to you. So that's why it's very important.
And I wholeheartedly agree. If we are involved in certain types of behaviors, whether intentional or not, taken from what you just said, it has an implication among people who said, I don't want to fool. I stopped fooling with the church for a reason. And sometimes people don't need very big reasons. Sometimes people use reasons that happen to other folks. Well, you know what? I'm not even going to fool with brother with Pastor Dunlap's church because I got a cousin that goes over there and look at what happened. Or in the church that you just mentioned. And so it doesn't have to be something that affects the person that is within that congregation directly. It can be something that can come from somebody else that is associated with the church. And then, you know, one of the shameful things about it, but it's a reality. People on the outside a lot of times have no idea what's going on the inside. But they will take it and they will run with it. And so you can't do anything about it. You can't unring a bell. That's the reality of it. You can't unring a bell. And you don't know who those individuals are out there that are talking about your particular congregation and what's going on in your particular congregation. You never get to those individuals because those individuals don't want to be bothered with you. So I'm glad you brought that out. And let me say this as well. This is not putting anybody's particular congregation on blast. It's not about talking about anybody's particular congregation. It's talking about the circumstances that's going on within our churches and within our community. So hopefully everybody understands that in love, that it's not about you individually. Now, if this is something going on in your congregation and you are a pastor or ministerial leader, then prayerfully God will be speaking something to your heart this evening where you can start going in a different direction so that the people are blessed and not cursed in the long run. So, Sister D, did you have anything that you wanted to bring on that question?
Well, the only thing that I wanted to add was I think it's important that as leaders, you know, within churches, that the research is done. And a lot of times we go off of the word of what we heard somebody else say, oh, this person, you know, they've been doing my taxes and I haven't had any problems with them, so you should use them. Or, you know, you have a lot of commercials, like our society is inundated with a lot of commercials. And just because this tax company has the money to spend on a commercial does not mean that they're reputable. It does not mean that because they can afford to put an ad in a phone book or newspaper or on the side of a bus, it doesn't mean that they're reputable. Only thing they're trying to do is to promote their business. And so at the end of the day, it's, you look at it as a service. So if there's an exchange of money, of course, the people that decide to advertise you, they're not looking at, well, is this person reputable? And some places may. But some places may look at it as, hey, we're getting ready to get $500 as long as we keep promoting and advertising this business. So a lot of times people run into issues, more and specifically ministers may run into issues by going off of the word of somebody else,
but never taking the time to research it. And that goes into when you have ministers, regardless whether they're pastors or not, that say, don't just believe my word when they're in the pulpit on Sunday mornings. Read the word for yourself. It's the same thing. Don't just go off of the word of somebody else, but take the time to research and gather your information and have other people that you can talk to that's going to be honest with you to say, hey, you know, they may be good, but let's find out some additional information. Because the last thing that you want to do is lose your witness. Because even though we still, you know, still do things with the federal government, whether it be taxes and different things like that, we still are ambassadors in the earth realm that represent our Lord and Savior. So we don't want to diminish who he is, because he is our source. And we, and you know, the word of God, I think you brought the scripture up, people perish for the lack of knowledge. So if we don't want to perish because of the lack of knowledge, that's just all the more for ministerial leaders to definitely make sure that they are researching, that they are gathering as much information as they can so that they can not make a hypothesis as we would in science, but so that they can make a deliberate decision, that they have carefully sought the counsel and the guidance of those people that they know. Even, you know, going to other pastors, different in churches in your area, to say, who do you use, and have you had any issues? Calling the IRS, like Brother DeJuan mentioned on last week, just asking those questions and getting the information so that at the end of the day, you can have clean heart, have a clean heart and clean hands, because we still represent God. And so everything that we do should be to bring glory to his name. And so if it's not bringing glory, even if it's taxes, it should be to bring glory to his name, to do the right thing. So you don't want to lose your witness. And you definitely, I mean, if Jesus could hang out with the tax collectors, knowing how iffy some of them were, they were considered sinners. I mean, you know, in the Bible, they were considered to be sinners. Like, you didn't just hang out with them. So if Jesus could have a conversation with them, definitely we in the church have an obligation to continue to hold up that standard and to not allow what people do to overshadow us, but also we don't want to lose that witness. And we want to be able to build good relationships and positive relationships with those so that in the long run, as the church in the community, we can send other people to them because we know that they're reputable and we know that they're going to do the right thing and that they stand for integrity, even if they're not biblically based or founded off of Christian principles or may not even be believers, but they have a heart to do the right thing.
That is such a very good point, because there's this notion, especially among us as ministers, that and we hear it a lot from, I hear it from my colleagues and I hear it from other folks, and we've been on the radio long enough that sometimes there's this stigmatism out there that we only can associate with our own.
Mm-hmm.
We only can associate, for example, as a minister, I'm going to go and let my taxes be done by another minister who is in that profession. Well, that's not always the case. That's not always going to be the right decision just because this person is a man or woman of God. We deal more with people who are not believers than people who are believers in our day-to-day life when it comes to things that we buy in goods and services.
Mm-hmm.
We deal with individuals who we have no knowledge of what their political, their religious affiliations are, and we deal with them all the time. And something that I think you said was really, really important, you said it should bring glory to God. So this is really tagging on to also what Brother DeJuan said as well. The people that we associate with can either bring glory to God or can bring disgrace to God. So by doing that research, as you said, Adia, or doing some type of due diligence, that is something that is required by us. If you need me to pull a scripture, I probably can get one. But I just think it's common sense and wisdom from God. And think about it, DeJuan. People expect us as ministers to be able to have wisdom of God.
Right.
So if I get caught up because I fail to do my due diligence, if I get caught up because I fail to see God, who should I be providing all of this personal, pertinent information to? And if I fail to do that, then I really can't stand up above the people and say anything to them when they make a similar type of decision. especially when people don't know it. That's the key for me. A lot of times people are not going to know where I do, where I take my taxes to get filed.
Mm-hmm.
Because we as ministers, we keep stuff to ourselves. And I think there's
right.
some good reason for that. But we keep it to ourselves. But I can tell you, I know somebody who has a relative that is a CPA. Person is a minister as well. I'll just leave it at that. And I know this CPA that done some dirt to somebody in regard to their tax situation. Kind of like, I won't say blackmail, but it's borderline. And I can say that because I do have a criminal justice background. And I'm like, wow. And this is the same cat that's doing this other minister who is well-known taxes every year.
Wow.
However, this individual minister will say very, very freely, my whoever this relative is a CPA. So we have to be careful because now me knowing what I know, what if I was the type of brother, and notice that I'm not mentioning the relationship between this minister, I'm not mentioning their title, I'm not mentioning the other person, but what if I wasn't that type of cat? What if I said, Brother Dunlap, out in the streets? Now that means you who are listening to me talk about Brother Dunlap may not get what God has for you through Brother Dunlap because you don't want to go to him because of what I've said, because of the association that he has done to somebody else.
Mm. Yeah.
I think it's worth it. So, again, for those of you who are just joining us, the first question that we're dealing with tonight as we talk about taxes and ministers is how important is it where we as ministers or ministerial leaders have or get our taxes prepared, and what are the positive or negative implications? So if we don't have anything more on that subject, let's go to the next question that we have for tonight, which is what responsibility does the church and what responsibility does clergy have regarding paying taxes on income received from weddings, from speaking engagements, from preaching engagements, for those things that are outside of, if I'm a pastor, outside of my normal role as a pastor being employed by a church, what responsibility does the church and clergy have? And Brother DeWine, can you jump on in on that one first for us?
I'm looking at that question. Let me pull it up. What responsibility does the church and clergy have regarding paying taxes on income received from weddings? One of the first thing, the two publications that people definitely want to take note of is the IRS publication 1828 and also the IRS publication 517, because it really gets into it. Because one of the issues, and I'll use a personal experience, my uncle, he's a minister of music, and he's never had a job outside of the church. He's in his 60s now, very accomplished musician. And by him doing that, he made a lot of money from the church and giving classes. But as he got older, he finally got with an accountant, and they let him know, like, hey, you really haven't paid any money into the system. So how do you expect to retire one day? You know, a lot of people don't think about those type of things because clergy, you have to report. I know there are certain exemptions, 501C that churches have, because you get into, is it self-employed income or is the actual earned income that you're making from being part of that ministerial staff. But you have a definite, you can look at him, you can look at a waiter at, at the store where you say, okay, nobody knows. Somebody just gave me a $100 tip, but I'm not going to tell. That's when you really have to look at yourself and say, am I really being of God by not reporting this information, and that's what you definitely want to make sure you report. And so it's up to the church and also that individual to report that income, because there are laws that, like we just listed, two of the publications, there are actually more publications as you get deeper into it, but we just covered the two that kind of lay out just the basic framework. I know, like you said, that the gentleman will be on that's the CPA, and he could probably share a little bit more knowledge. I was actually reading something about one of the mega churches, because we've all heard on the news how certain mega churches are not reporting information regarding their income. They can get audited, but the audited information is not to be released to the public. So it's a little gray area when you come into it. So, I mean, it's really big, and I don't want to get too, you know, deep into the weeds because there's so much information, but just at the basic level, that ministerial staff, they are definitely responsible for letting know if they're giving income to that individual or that individual, if they're making any type of self-employed income, if they go out and speak, do weddings, do funerals. You know, like my uncle, he's doing obviously multiple funerals, you know, being that minister of music. So you definitely have to take heed to those, you know, those warnings that the IRS give you, because you will find yourself in trouble trying to escape the system, and eventually it'll come back to your congregation. And also, regardless of the congregation, you still have one higher power that you have to answer to anyway.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's good. And I also just wanted to add that I think it's important that ministers at churches, that they understand the definition, because some people just look at a minister as, oh, I got me a license, I'm ordained to preach, so I'm good. And so they're getting paid money from churches, and they're not reporting them. So definitely when you look at, you know, should they report their, you know, the wages that they're receiving from speaking engagements, performing weddings, funerals, different things like that. I think it's important that, one, they understand how the IRS is going to identify them. And I was looking up some information, and what it was saying was that you have to determine if a person is a minister for federal tax purposes, if they're ordained, licensed, or commissioned. Does the person administer ordinances such as baptism and the Lord's Supper? Does the person conduct religious worship? So if you have people that fall up under that criteria, there is an obligation for them to report their wages for tax purposes. And so now you're looking at, I think the word was mentioned earlier, about integrity. Where is the integrity of that individual once they understand? Hopefully the church is, one, teaching them that, hey, you're a part of the church staff. Got it. I was talking to Dewan and you earlier, Nate, where I was saying, well, how do we define what that is? Because where I was looking at is, what if that church has their bylaws which says, hey, a minister is ordained, however, we're not going to allow you to go out and preach at other churches or perform weddings or funerals or what have you until the period of 6 months is up, or a year, or however. So to understand how all of that plays into tax purposes as well, I think it's important that we talk about that, and that the church does a good job, if not them explaining it, maybe a leader, a part of that ministerial staff, but definitely having a tax professional come in and train them on, here is what you need to do if you're going to, for your ministerial staff. And to have that education so that you don't have repeated instances of people getting caught up with being audited by the IRS, or in the case of Dewan's relative, not having anything set aside for their future in Social Security. Imagine being 55 years old and you've been doing X, Y, and Z in the church and haven't reported anything, and you got 7 more years before you can file, you know, before you're eligible for Social Security. Well, what have you put in? And so yet you've been working for all of these years for the Lord, and I'm not being funny, and I use the term lightly, but you've been working for the Lord, but you don't have anything stored for your future. There's no inheritance, no inheritance, no legacy, nothing left behind, you know. And so it begs the question of, are ministerial staff ensuring that, one, that their staff are educated? Is that pastor even educated, understand that I have an obligation, a federal obligation, to pay my income taxes from income received from weddings, speaking, preaching engagements, what have you, even if you go out there, say if a college wants you to come and speak and they pay you $5,000, that's not a blessing from the Lord.
That's, you are responsible and accountable to report that information. But if we don't know what we're supposed to do because we are so used to the traditional ways of doing something, then we'll continue to do wrong. And not only will we continue to do wrong, but now you have other generations that are coming up through the church that are doing the same exact thing, and sooner or later we end up with nothing because we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. So I definitely believe that the church has a big responsibility to ensure that the clergy are doing the right thing, which ties into last week where we were talking about, I think, the whole thing about accountability. And knowing what you're responsible for and making sure that when we were talking about, you know, does the church have a responsibility about making sure that people understand the relationship between their tithing when it comes to their taxes? Well, we're going to say if we agree to that, which we all did, then definitely the leaders of our churches that are in our communities have an even bigger obligation to make sure that they're doing the right thing in reporting correctly so that they can be of assistance to other people that may be self-employed or I think the word is a self-contractor or what have you. So I'm just going to pass it on. I don't know if Juan has anything else he wants to share. But
no, I think you really hit on it. And what you were speaking is that employee supplemental tax guide that talks in publication 15 Alpha that gets into the actual self-employment income that they have to declare and going out. But like you said, it's definitely, you know, up to that staff to make sure, hey, one, let's look at our congregation. Who do we have? What type of you know, expertise do we have within that? Are we giving that? You know, we were talking about tithing last week, and giving out your skills and expertise is part of that. So making sure that we know who our congregation is, let them come out and make sure they help. You know, you don't have to be a CPA to know the information, to be able to educate. You know, that CPA, he or she may be able to lead the discussion, but others can lead to, you know, within that discussion and have a great discussion, because just like, you know, we're all sitting here having this discussion, getting information, learning from each other, that should be the same exact thing going on within that church. So they know what's going on, and it's a group effort, because if we say this congregation is a family, we're all up under that whole umbrella of Christ, and we're in here for one purpose. That purpose should also include making sure that we're spreading that knowledge and keeping our members, you know, in the know, because that's something, there are many members that can get in trouble for not knowing when there could have been somebody within that congregation that could have helped them before they got themselves in trouble.
You know what I hear from you, Brother Duan and Adia? I hear that the answer to number two, to this question, what responsibilities does the church and the clergy have regarding paying taxes on income received from weddings and speaking engagements, et cetera, is a communal responsibility. It's not an individual responsibility, because some people just are not knowledgeable about it. So if they're not knowledgeable about it, somebody has to be willing to say, hey, before something goes down, let's bring this to the church. And what you said was so true, Brother Duan, when you said God has given us a platform right here. So we're doing what we can do. And I'm sure there's others that are out there all across the country that may be dealing with this. But for the most part, most of us individually cannot say that. I can say in my community, I know of no other congregation or no other ministry that's talking about what we're talking about right now. And for the brother that's going to be coming on the PRS table in a couple of weeks, hopefully, or less, for him to be able to say, ministers do not want to hear what I have to say. That means a lot. And this is somebody who had 24 years experience specifically in this area of dealing with doing taxes and accounting work and CPA work for ministers, pastors, and churches. Maybe the truth hurts. That's why I'm trying to get us geared up for it, so we can just get a little bit of the conversation out so that when he comes with what the real deal is and that eye-opener, because here's what we know. Hey, Carter, I'm coming to you last 45087. God does not hold us accountable for what we don't know. He holds us accountable for what we do know. So it is, maybe it is that some of us, some of my colleagues, may not want to know, because then they'll be held accountable and they're busy and they're comfortable doing it the way that they're doing it. Caller last 4-5087. Welcome to the PRF table.
Good evening, Freedom Radio, and I'm just so glad to be a part of this information and enlightenment and knowledge that I'm receiving from you guys every week. I want to thank you for all that you're doing. As a deaconess in the United Methodist Church, I work outside the church four walls, still doing ministry. So it's considered volunteerism because I don't receive any pay, and I go into the community and serve in capacities in several different community environments. And from these environments, I receive a letter at the end of the year that it just puts a total of the hours that I put in. So when I go to file my taxes, I turn this in, and it equates into mileage and my self-worth as hours. So my question is, when I try to put these hours, these volunteer hours, into what I have contributed over the year, I am able to put what I see as my dollar figure for my expertise. Is there some other method I need to use to calculate this, or should I not use that, or just tell me where I should go in that particular response?
Thank you, caller. Brother Dewan, do you have any knowledge that you can share with this listener or this caller for that particular question?
Well, part of it, and I was trying to hear, I will say one of the things that you will be able to use is filling out a 2106, that actually covers the mileage that you'll get for going to that location. So you definitely want to make sure that you're covering anything that you use to get to that. You know, I can't speak in detail on as far as using the hours. I haven't seen that. I don't want to give you an answer that I'm not too up on. You know, I'll try and research. If I find it, I'll give the information. We can post it on the website or whatnot. But as far as you driving to that location, that is definitely covered. So I just want you to definitely be aware of that. So that publication, again, is a 2106 within the So yeah, let me try to look that up real quick to see if I can come up with something else. But definitely wanted you to be aware of what I have as far as information at this point.
I have a question, Brother Dewan. Would that also include, like, if she goes to other places and has to pick up things, that she can also include that mileage as well, or is it just limited to her traveling from her home to the church?
No, it doesn't include traveling from the home to the church. But if you leave that place of employment, which would be considered the church, and you have to go to a place outside of that, your actual workplace, then that's when you can include that mileage. That's what you're looking for. If you had to spend any type of lunch, you that wasn't your normal. Hey, I go to Five Guys for lunch every day, but if you had to meet a client and part of that, you know, that actual ministerial service that you were doing, now that also goes on the 21-6, and you also put information about your vehicle, because obviously you're using your vehicle to get from point A to point B. So that's when they get into that area. They want to cover, like, where are you starting from? Where are you going? What is different than – what is outside your normal realm of, you know, where do I normally go every day? So if I'm doing something outside of my daily activities, then that's when you can get into, hey, this is something that the government does recognize, that I'm doing something different. So, yes, I can report this, and I can use those forms that they got. You know, like I said, I don't know as far as hours, but definitely know as far as fair market value of your vehicle, you know, buying lunch, or even if you were doing ministerial services outside of your house. You know, some there's a section in back in the publication 517 where they talk about reducing stuff because you're doing services from your house.
Thank you.
Did I confuse you, or does it make any, you know, was it clear for you?
No, that part was clear, but I still have a question on whether I can put a dollar amount on my actual professionalism in what I am volunteering in the community on an hourly basis. Can I fix a dollar amount to that?
No, because when you're volunteering, that's not you can't really put a dollar amount because you're assuming. I mean, I can put a dollar amount to me donating clothes to Goodwill. I can put, you know, a dollar amount to me. Well, I cannot put a dollar amount to me going out coaching the Little League baseball team, which I do. But I can say, hey, I did it. But there's no form that you will get, because when you actually volunteer and give services, unless that actually shows a dollar amount, you can't. Because if that was the case, you know, I could just make up a fictitious, hey, I went out and I administered my Little League team, and I want to put a dollar amount because some of those kids were in a whole lot of trouble, and I should get, I think my services were worth about $455. So that's what I think my services were worth. That wouldn't be fair. But if I gave some clothes to those same kids and I say, hey, I donated these clothes, yes, I can put a dollar amount to the clothes, but I can, that's actual tangible evidence, because I'll say, okay, I paid this amount for these clothes, but I can't say I paid this amount for service. I can't say, okay, my education costs this much, and I share my education, so I should be compensated. Just like you can't say a certain church, you know, the minister, he only deserves this salary, and that minister deserves this salary. We can't say that. So, no, from my knowledge, you wouldn't be able to put a dollar amount. I've never seen it in any of the publications, and I mean, like I said, I've been reading the IRS Pub, you know, since I was, you know, probably 17 years old.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, caller. We appreciate it. And so think about just that one particular question or those two particular questions, and think about how detailed, and I'll be honest with you, Brother DeJuan, I was listening to you, but I wasn't grabbing all of it. And I was listening to the caller's question, I wasn't grabbing all of it, because I've never heard of it, and I've never been in that situation. But just think about those two questions in the last 3 or 4 minutes of conversation that we had about that. Think about the person who does not ask the question and then just attaches, you know what, for my volunteer and my volunteer services is worth $20 an hour. Can you imagine if that is wrong? Because we don't have a concrete answer that we can pull a direct reference from at this point, and we can leave that for the brother who's a CPA who's going to come on later. But can you imagine if that is wrong, and if people are doing that, how detrimental that can be later on down the road? So I'm glad we have people that are willing to call and ask the questions, because I want to know, what if somebody tells me that that's something that I can do? I mean, let's be honest, who do we usually get our information from? The streets. Most people, we have a lot of listeners, and we thank God for them, but most people are not coming on the PRF table to hear what God is saying through us and through everybody else. Most people are getting their information from the streets or from people they believe that they can trust that's providing information to them that they say is good and wholesome information. So what I'm going to do for the caller who just called in, I'm going to actually ask the brother who's going to come in, and I may ask it after the show, and then I'll put it on the Facebook page, Possessions, Our Resources, Our Finances. So look for that response, and hopefully that can help you out. So, again, to all our brothers and sisters, the ones who are listening, the question that we're dealing with is, what responsibilities does the church and clergy have regarding paying taxes on income received from weddings? Here's one of the things that I found. And Sister D, you mentioned about terminology. So when you look in that IRS publication 1828 that deals with us, this is what it found. On page 6, it says, the title of it says self-employed persons. It's on page 6. And it says ministers in bold. You must include income from services you performed as a minister when figuring out your net earnings from self-employment, unless you have an exemption from self-employment tax. And then what it does, it takes you to, it says go to table 1-3. And when you look at table 1-3, there's a little bit more information. A couple of things that it says, you had net earnings from self-employment of at least $400. So now everybody should have a understanding that if you have net earnings from self-employment of at least $400, then you must file that. And it also says if you had wages of $108.28 or more from a church or a qualified church-controlled organization that is exempt from employer Social Security and Medicare taxes. We may not know exactly how deep that is, and that may not grab all of us as ministers, but if I don't understand what that says, then I need to be seeking out somebody that has that answer, a qualified tax professional. Contact Brother DeJuan, somebody who knows how to read these publications so we don't get ourselves in trouble. And when I kept looking in 1828, it talks about on page 50, special rules for certain employees. And it talks about clergy, and it says the section deals with special rules for persons in certain types of employment, specifically members of the clergy, members of religious orders, people working in foreign employers, military personnel, and volunteers. And when it talks about clergy, it says generally if you are a member of the clergy, you must include in your income to income offerings your fees you receive for marriages, baptism, funerals, masses, etc., in addition to your salary. If the offering is made to the religious institution, it's not taxable to you. So, Brother DeJuan, is there any way to make that more self-explanatory to those who are listening?
No, I mean, it pretty much states just like that, because you understand that a duly ordained, licensed, or commissioned, you know, this is also in the publication, duly ordained, licensed, or commissioned minister performing ministerial services is considered to be self-employed. And at that point, you must sit out there. You must give the information and show that, hey, I've earned income. And that goes into, again, like we were talking again about, are you being true to yourself? So, yeah, we can... You can receive other money. I mean, like we were discussing on the phone earlier about certain offerings, but it is up to you and that church to make sure we share that information with the proper authorities to know that we're not trying to go above the system, trying to, you know, basically cheat the system. That the system, you know, some people may not like it, but the system is still the law. And if we're saying we're going to follow the law, you know, of the word, we also got to follow the law of the land also.
That's right. And here's another piece that I can bring in. When I was reading, this is another thing that I came up and saw, and it's regarding a 1099 miscellaneous form, And it says, issue a 1099 miscellaneous form to any self-employed person to whom the church paid non-employee compensation of $600 or more within the year. And that says there are some exceptions, but let's just stop right there for a minute. If I come to your church three times and I get $200 every time I come and speak at your church or come and teach at your church, whatever that service is, right, this is very, very clear. That means the church has a responsibility. Now we're getting onto the church side. The church has a responsibility to issue me that 1099. So that means somebody has to be keeping track, because sometimes you may not know as a church body how many times Brother Dunlap or Minister Dunlap is going to come preach at that church. So if I come this time and you don't keep a record of it, you give me $200, then I happen to come another time, you don't keep a track of it, I get $200. Then I come another time, and now I'm at that threshold. And if you're not aware as a congregation that that is what you're required to do, then you're not going to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I really hope and I really want people to get that, because it's important, because there's a dual responsibility for it. My job as a minister is to do what I'm required to do, especially with the information that I know, but it's also responsibility of that organization that is asking me to come to be keeping track and keeping records so that they can help me out, because what if I don't know I'm supposed to do that? And all of a sudden now I get a 1099, I got to ask that question, what the heck is this for? Why am I getting this? And here's the thing, Brother DeWine, correct me if I'm wrong. When you are self-employed, that self-employment tax is higher than regular tax income tax that you would have to pay if you just went to a regular job.
Right.
That's a true statement, right?
That's
so if
statement.
I have to pay more in taxes, I need to know that. I don't need to get hit with that at the end of the year or when I file my taxes next year thinking I'm going to get more than what I earn.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be real hurtful. It could be real hurtful for somebody who's out there just getting, who God is blessing to go here, there, and everywhere, and they're getting money from all these different sources. Again, I'm with you, Adil. We don't want nothing to hinder our witnesses as ministers. And that's part of what's driving me to deal with this subject on tonight's show.
Yep. I agree with you. And I just think it's also important to understand as well that the laws change. I mean, our tax laws change so frequently. I mean, they may change, you know, throughout the year. So at the end of that calendar year, if you don't know what the laws are or even how they've changed, you can find yourself, you know, having to pay a penalty just because you weren't following and you didn't have the knowledge or you weren't seeking them or even asking those questions. The other part that I was looking at, too, was that if you are a minister and you're going to another church and don't know that you're supposed to get this 1099 form, that means that your church isn't doing something. And so whether it's because that's not what they do or because they just don't know, I still think that you're in a good position to, one, educate yourself. Maybe somebody from that church can come to your church and teach the ministerial staff there, hey, here's what this 1099 means. And if they're not doing that now, when we talk about community, we can wrap that all in, and so we can make sure that when we turn 62 that we're getting the benefits that we worked and earned, you know, the right way, but at the same time we're empowering other churches and we're sharing information and we're growing together so now they can take that information and share it with somebody else who maybe for 20, 30 years has had a church and have not been doing that just because they did not know, just because they've never taken the time to find out this information. And maybe they think, well, I'm just, you know, I filed my taxes as an individual, you know, I didn't know I was supposed to add in this other information, which can hurt them in the long run. And Brother DeWine is going to just talk about some additional information as it relates to, you know, how not knowing something, the implications that it can have for you.
Okay, yes, that was a great segue into what I wanted to cover, because we were looking, and one of the things I pulled out, and this is directly from the regs, and I'll read it and then kind of get into a little more explanation. It says, for Social Security and Medicare tax purposes, a duly ordained, licensed, or commissioned minister performing ministerial services is considered to be self-employed. This means that your salary on Form W-2, the net profit on Schedule C, or if you do just the easy, C-Easy, and your housing allowance, less your employee business expenses are subject to self-employment tax on Form 1040, Schedule SE, for self-employment tax. However, and this is the key that ministers, if they're online, they need to listen. However, you can request an exemption from self-employment tax for your ministerial earnings if you are opposed to certain public insurance for religious or conscientious reasons. You cannot request exemption for economic reasons. To request the exemption, file Form 4361, which is an application for exemption from self-employment tax for use by ministers, members of religious orders, and Christian Science practitioners with IRS. You must file it by the due date of your income tax return, including extensions for the second tax year in which you have net earnings for self-employment of at least $400. So I'll say it again. You must file it by the due date of your income tax return, including extensions for the second tax year in which you have net earnings from self-employment of at least $400. This rule applies if any or part of your net earnings from each of the 2 years came from the performance of ministerial services. The 2 years do not have to be consecutive. So that is key right there. You know, we just gave $1 amount, and then this came and gave a second dollar amount. So that's why we definitely have to, one, stay on top of that information. Make sure you go into a reputable business, you know, a person that knows the law, that can get into the law and not even just know it by hand, but can actually read the law and figure out. Don't just say, okay, well, I know it was this amount last year, so it should be that amount, because those numbers can change. But also for those people who have a legitimate reason to say, you know, I have, you know, a religious or a conscientious reason that I don't want to, that I'm requesting exemption from this self-employment tax, you can do it. And that's when you get into that gray area. And, you know, I was looking up an article about a church in Charlotte where they were not given that information. And you just have to, that's, again, that's one of those battles that you have to fight, you know, with yourself to know, hey, am I doing it for economic reasons, you know, as it says in the regulation that you can't do, or am I doing it for real religious reasons that I'm not giving this information freely, even though it still has to be reported, but in a different form? So I just wanted to make sure I brought that to light, because that is very key and can lead, you know, ministers, clergy down a dark road if they don't take heed to it.
And I'm going to tell you, you know, as a deal, when you just started making your comment, I had already wrote down in my notes, ignorance of the law is no defense. I teach that to my students, my criminal justice students, my personal law students. Ignorance of the law is no defense. It is what it is. And those who have law degrees know that I'm telling you the truth. So I have another point that I just want to bring up. I really think that it's important that everybody, all of us as ministers and clergy, we understand that my tax profile, my tax situation may not be the same as yours. So I can't just listen to Reverend Sanders say do this, do this, and do this, because your situation may be different than mine. You may have filed an exemption for something. I haven't filed jack. You good on your end. I'm getting crushed in my end 3 years out of row when God starts blessing this ministry of mine that he's given me. And now here, all of a sudden, now I got to deal with the IRS and deal with the shame and the guilt and all of that, and lose trust and faith and confidence in God, as other people lose faith and trust and confidence in me as their, quote-unquote, their leader or under-shepherd. We don't have time for that, because there's a lot of people that need a lot of things in this world and in our community. So we have to be to the level of where we're operating in full capacity. Let me say one more point about that second question about the responsibility of the church and clergy. I told you at the beginning of the hour, brother told me to numb the mouth before you pull teeth. So let me just pull teeth one quick second. God is not, and this is me speaking, but I don't believe that God is going to allow anybody who wants to cheat the tax system to flourish in their ministry. Hmm. Why is God going to allow me? I'll say me. Why is he going to allow me to bring in income for all the things and that I'm doing with ministry and the places that he's allowing me to go, for me to try to capture and hold on and keep what is Caesar, when God and Jesus told me to give to Caesar what is Caesar? So here's the point. If I'm coming to your church, I think I got to do it. This thing about love offerings. It is very easy to say, Reverend Dunlap is here. He's been teaching for the last week. We're going to take up a love offering at the end, so we don't have to account for it, and it's all on him. Why do that? Some folks I know for a fact don't want to do the paperwork because they don't know and they're not knowledgeable enough. So my thing is, for all the pastors, all the those who are in charge of ministries, find out what you need to do and then just do it. Because God is not going to bless that. I've seen money slip through ministers' hands. And I'm talking about first-hand knowledge. They didn't want the money to come to the church, which is easy. It's the easier way, because you have accountability of it. And the money's just going straight to that individual, and that individual is doing what he or she wants to do with it. And the shameful part is, if the church has knowledge of that and is not willing to do anything, If I know good and doggone well that you've gotten yourself into some tax trouble and not wanting to pay your taxes, I think it's a thing of responsibility and love on my part as a church to say, okay, when this money comes in, we're going to count it, we're going to write a check to Reverend Dunlap. You gonna, Reverend Dunlap going to get mad? Oh, well, he's just got to get mad. Because now there's some accountability for that. And now as a as another fellow minister, as a fellow pastor, you can say something to pull that person's coattail of why that's being done that way. Because our network is small as ministers, y'all. And we don't like for stuff to get out about us. So we tolerate mess that goes on. I'm telling you what I know. I've been in a lot of pastor studies and a lot of churches and behind a lot of closed doors meetings. So we allow stuff and garbage to happen because sometimes we don't want to pull each other's coattail as ministers. Mm. But God ain't pleased with that, y'all, and he ain't tolerating it.
And it goes into accountability, being accountable to someone. Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
What do you think, and I know it's not one of the topics, but I was just thinking that churches should have, like, once they find a good CPA or tax preparer, that they should stick with them or maybe hire them so that they have, as they have questions throughout the year, or as the laws change, they can go back to one person. And should, is it even worth them paying the money? Because I don't know what it costs to hire a CPA that you can always go to that is dedicated to you, and they may have other clients as well. But is it worth these churches paying the money to make sure that they are getting the right information? And I ask that because some churches may not think, you know, they just may say, oh, I'll just, you know, deal with them only once a year instead of having somebody that they can go to throughout the whole year.
I personally don't have a problem with it. For me, this is just me. Reverend Dunlap does not have a problem with accountability.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with opening up the books. I don't have a problem with that. I think there's been too much foolishness that is going on in a lot of churches and a lot of in church as a whole in a lot of places has gotten a bad rap because of certain things that have occurred. So if we need to be transparent, if we need to be open as a body, as a church within a community, then doggone it, we need to be open so that we can remove all those things, all those barriers for people that want to be a part of us. So that's my answer to the question. Brother DeWire, what's your take on it?
Yes, I would add to it, you know, let's not even look at it in a negative light and actually just look at from a positive aspect of saying, hey, many places get audited. I mean, we're, you know, I do finance in the Army, and now we're finally getting to the point where we want to be fully auditable because we haven't been fully auditable, and that's why we've changed a lot of our systems so we can be fully auditable. Then, you know, when people think of being audited, you think of IRS, where CPAs actually, some have licenses to be auditors, and that's what you want. You want them to be able to look at your books and tell you something that you may not know. It's not that you're hiding something, but it's actually to share something. You know, hey, you know, you actually could get credit for doing this. You may find out, you know, they're helping you out versus more of a looking at it from a negative light. So I just want to make sure we bring that to the forefront because I hear the term so often when people think, you know, on the negative side instead of looking at what benefit does it, because there are a lot of benefits in having that information, you know, that transparency, you know, not just so the congregation could know, but so the heads of the church can know what's going on themselves so they know what they're doing, that they're doing it right. Because we don't know all the information. I don't know all the information. The next guy, he won't know all the information, but collectively, as we look at stuff and they find stuff, you'll be amazed at some of the information that will come up when you get yourself audited.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you brought that out because that's one of the things that I do for a living in my profession. I conduct audits. I'm the auditor. And I try to tell people, you rather me to find out about this and bring it to your attention than somebody coming from the outside of the institution and bring it to your attention.
Absolutely.
Usually when somebody comes from the outside, it costs more money, and it costs more, it brings more of a spotlight on the organization or the institution. So let me do me. Let me do this for you so that I can help prepare you. If there's something that wasn't done right, we can put something in place to correct it. And if something is being done right, you have that frame of, you have that peace of mind, especially as a ministerial leader, to know that I have something that says this was done right. Just like we do our personal taxes, right? If you take your personal taxes to H&R Block or Jackson Hewitt or one of those others, and there's something that is not right, you can go back to them, and it doesn't. It's not like you just filled out the paperwork yourself and you got to take all the hit if you got an audit. So I think that's important. I know Adia had to step away from the table, Brother Duran, but here's the last question that we have for tonight, y'all. What responsibility, if any, do ministerial leaders have for promoting or supporting the business of a tax professional that's within their ministry or within their network of followers? And let me tell you why I asked that question, Brother. If we're not supporting those that are within us, then I think that that is a problem. I think if we don't support those who are in certain professions that can benefit the body and benefit us, I mean, think about it. Dia asked the question about getting a CPA to come and look at things. Well, why should we have to go outside of the church to hire somebody outside of the church when we have somebody that's doing this every day for a living? And I'm not advocating that just because you do something in your secular world or in your job that makes you qualified, but I do think, Brother Duran, and I'll let you chime in on it, that it is at least worth taking a look at somebody who can do this for us if they're willing to do it. And even if they're talking about from a volunteer perspective, and even if it's not from a volunteer perspective, why pay somebody else when we have Brother such and such that's sitting here right among us?
Right. Yeah, you definitely want to make sure we're promoting, but, you know, it's just like if they are not giving you the right information, you'll quickly find out. You know, we use the little moniker about the wolf in sheep's clothing, the sheep in wolf's clothing, or however it goes.
Right.
But, you know, give them the opportunity, like we said, you know, because if I'm giving you some information, one of the things, I mean, you're just like us. You know, from that military mindset of, hey, if I'm giving you information, I'm definitely going to show you where I got the information from. So you know I didn't just come out of, you know, my fourth point of contact with the information. So when that you're promoting, then I also expect you to have a duty to say, okay, he or she is promoting my business, my expertise. Now to let them know that I appreciate what they're doing, let me show them where this information is coming so they know that, hey, that's good knowledge. He's telling me what's right, and I can reference exactly what he said. So, yeah, it does make sense. And now that's when it goes into, now I can share that information, say, you know, Brother Jefferson just told me he's a professional. And what he said was right on point because I just pulled up exactly what he said. I didn't totally understand it, but I went back and I read what he said. Now, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. You know, I'm going to listen to some more stuff that Brother Jefferson has to say. Well, guess what? Brother Jefferson said something else. Brother Jefferson said he didn't know that information. He's going to get back with me because he's going to look it up. You know, I appreciate that. And now that minister, you're looking like, I'm glad I gave that information because that brother is on point. He knows when to say what he knows, and he knows when to say I'm not sure. And that, you know, that's definitely because it makes you look positive from the ministerial level, but also that business is promoting it. It helps them look positive also.
And, you know, we posted the questions on the Facebook page, resources.resources.finances, and one of our listeners responded this way. Sometimes a person may feel uncomfortable supporting a tax business or a tax service business who is a part of their church because they may want to keep their financial business private. And so what I did, I said, well, okay, and we respect that response, so I asked a follow-up question. I said, well, what about giving their info to complete strangers? And their response was, a complete stranger is not a problem because you only have to see that person once, so you will not feel obligated or uncomfortable. That's a real deal response. However, I think that's I have a problem with it, not with the response. Don't get me wrong. I'm not with the response. We respect the response. I have a problem with that particular institution because there, it speaks to me that there is a trust issue. If I'm willing, think about this. If I'm willing, brother, you went to school for accounting?
Correct.
You went to school for accounting. Isn't it kind of crazy that I got a deal sitting in within my congregation, but I'm willing to go to you, who is not a part of the congregation, who I don't know, don't have no relationship with at all? That says something about our relationship.
Right.
And one of the things that you said, bro, about the person that's getting the info and now I'm able to take that information and do something with it, what about this? If you're in our congregation, Duan, and you're giving some information, I'm like, man, that don't sound right. And then I find out that's not right. Is it a moral thing for me to be like, well, we just not going to fool with Brother Duan. We're going to let him do his taxes to everybody else, but we ain't going to fool with him. How God looking at that? For you
right.
to keep doing somebody else wrong, and we don't want to, because we don't want to deal with you. So the best thing to do is, you know what, I'd rather us find out, because everything is a reflection of our witness. You sitting
right.
up there doing taxes, talking about praise the Lord, and you messing up folks' taxes. But somebody else is not going to force you and know that that's what you're doing. So we got to have enough love for our brothers and our sisters to be able to say, hey, bro, that didn't come out quite right. Or the information you gave me, I'm getting all of it because of the information you gave me. And, of course, we got to do everything in love. But, again, I don't want to be dealing with, I don't want somebody, my brother or my sister, going out there, quote, unquote, and messing up or doing somebody else wrong. I just think that's bad
right.
business. I don't see how God can even look at that like, oh, y'all did the right thing because you didn't get caught up. No, come on, man. Seriously? And I think also about promoting the business of within. I think when we promote the business of or the self-employment of believers, prayerfully there will be a benefit to that individual who is among us. It'll be a benefit to their family. It'll be a benefit to the kingdom. It'll be a benefit to the community. That's my prayer. And I'm not saying that you can do business with everybody. Not saying that at all. But doggone, we gotta try to deal with home. Jesus told the disciples, be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all to the uttermost parts of the earth. He didn't say go to the uttermost parts of the earth and forget about Jerusalem. So I think that we have to not just focus on spiritual gifts in the church, but we also got to focus on the talents that we have among us, because everything ain't a spiritual gift. The fact that you are knowledgeable, Duan, in accounting, I can't call that a spiritual gift. I can't find that in the Bible. It may be, but I can't find it. But that doesn't mean it's any less important than a spiritual gift, because it can be a benefit to the kingdom just because we don't have a scripture in a verse that goes along with it.
Yep.
I really think that go ahead.
I was just going to say, too, the thought that came to my mind, I had just two things. One was if ministers cannot display or walk in integrity when it comes to their taxes as being ministers of the gospel, then it would make me wonder what they do on their personal taxes, you know, if they do have another job, which most times they do unless they are full-time ministry and they're able to get, you know, receive a yearly salary from their church that they are employed by. So it goes into a lot of implications, just going back to not losing your witness, but also just in response to the anonymous comment that you had. I look at that as not just trust, but you not even representing that person or not even acknowledging them as a professional. And so when we devalue people, when we dismiss them based off of their ability, I mean, imagine this person has gone to school, has a degree or with a certification or whatever, an experience, and you are just basically blowing them off as a professional to say that they're not qualified enough to do your work, nor are you, you know, being professional enough to say that I'm going to, this person, you know, can do my taxes, and without even giving that person a chance. And I think that we all can learn from that, that, you know, I know our church has talked about us utilizing people inside instead of spending money outside, you know, be a blessing to that person, and I guess maybe respect the position that they have as a professional that's right there in your church, and also understand that there is a such thing as confidentiality and that they are upheld by law to not just sell and disclose people's personal information.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of, you know, it could be trust, but also think of it as just a lack of education for, you know, for people that, that fall into that criteria, and we just want to make sure that, that we don't do that.
And addressing that concern that you just mentioned, Adia, about the information, that's a understandable concern about disclosing information. I'm private with my information. That's not going to give you my Social Security number, date of birth. I'm not just going to give that because identity theft is the number two highest rising crime in America. Billions of dollars a year. So it affects everybody, whether you got hit or personally or you didn't get hit. So I think with that concern, you know, I understand and recognize that concern about people's information getting out to non-authorized persons. You know, you own a tax business, it's you and two other people. It should be you and those two other people that have access to it, not leaving your information, my information out so somebody else can get it. I understand that. I understand about people being concerned about those who they may give their information to talking about their business around the church or even in the streets.
Yeah, definitely.
So we understand that that may be a concern. My thing is let's break down the barrier that's keeping us from having true relationship with our brothers and our sisters.
Amen.
So if that trust thing is there, then let's pray to God and let's ask God to help us to deal with that trust, that lack of trust in a constructive and a nonviolent way so that it can be a benefit to the kingdom. Because God can't be happy when we don't trust each other, because that means we're not in real relationship with each other. But we're going to sing songs of Zion next. I'm going to be sitting right next to you, but I don't trust you in church on Sunday morning. That doesn't work like an Acts 2 church to me.
Yeah, exactly.
So if y'all have anything that y'all want to continue on with this conversation, we ask everybody to go to our Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances. We welcome your conversation. We welcome your comments. We welcome your questions because we want to continue on with this conversation. We don't want anybody going down the wrong road if we have an opportunity to be able to do something about getting people on the right road. And you may educate us. Again, Brother DeJuan, some of the things that you said today, I didn't have that. But now I'm a little more smarter as a minister. And now it's really up to me to ask God for wisdom about who I need to go to help me with some of these things that I may not have. I know what I do. I know how to keep my mileage. But again, is that the right way? I was in a self-employment status before I became a minister. So I'm doing some of the same stuff just as regular self-employment. But if there's other stuff that I can get and as a benefit, why would I not want to know that information up front? Why would I want to give away some of the benefits that may be afforded to me as clergy? So, Brother DeJuan, do you have any closing comments that you wanted to bring to the table? And again, I say we just appreciate you sitting down with us over these last couple of weeks. You have a permanent seat at the table. We know Brother Feaster is gone, so his seat is still open because, you know, he's probably going to come back in a couple of months. But, again, this is not about me and Adia and Brother Feaster. Anybody that can be a benefit to what God is doing with us with this particular ministry to help people, we welcome you. We give you an open seat at the table to come on. So, Brother DeJuan, do you have any closing comments for us tonight?
Yeah, I'll just say, again, I just want to, you know, thank you again, you know, definitely – for the blessing that I could you know, try and bring out. You know, I'm glad for the people that have taught me that some of the knowledge that I've you know, attained over the time. But I'm just glad that I can come on the show and try and share some of those gifts and just be out there and speak in a, you know, not only in a educational but in a spiritual sense. So we're sharing the word because, you know, at the end, we talk all the time. You know, that's my little spiritual sister while we're here out in the middle of nowhere, as we say. But I'm very appreciative. You know, I learn, you know, and that's one of the keys. You know, it's not always about you think you're sharing information, because the real key is what information are you receiving from others, you know, even from listening to the callers. I'm receiving information, and they're telling me that was one of the things that we, you know, working in school, we used to have fun getting to do those income taxes because, hey, let's actually use a real application so I can see, you know, real world question, because everything won't be just as simple as, you know, as you think it is. So how can I get into and learn some more knowledge, because I'm learning, you know, because even though, like I said, I got away from the business I was working in because of different military obligations. But, you know, you all, since, you know, she told me about the show, it's actually got, you know, me back, you know, I'm back in the saddle, like, looking up stuff, back in the publications, like, hey,
yeah,
this is good information. Let me find out something. So I'm very happy. I'm like a kid at a candy store right now.
Hey, I'm the kid at the counter. I'm the kid at the counter standing next to the man at the counter. I don't have no money, so since I don't have no money, I'm going to eat some of the candy that you buy. Hey, it all works together for the glory of God. Adia, if you're still with us, did you have any closing comments that you wanted to bring before we shut down for the night?
No. All I will say is that it is always a pleasure, and I am so happy that we're talking about this topic because it stretches you, and it has you you can grow and definitely learn about information you did not know before. And I just wanted to just add that from us talking about taxes, it has encouraged and empowered me to look at Publication 17. And I took that publication, and I've saved it, and I've been going through, because I have not filed my taxes yet, but I've been going through, and questions that I have about, you know, because I have property, it has helped me to understand and to ask questions that may help me as far as filing my taxes. So I am so thankful just for this forum, and to always have a seat at the table where you can eat, but not only just eat to be full, but eat so that you can share that word with other people and encourage, challenge, and educate and empower them as well.
Amen, amen. Well, listeners, I think we've had a good show tonight. We thank God for it. We thank God for your presence, those who are have been listening to us via telephone, and those who are listening online, and also those of you who may be listening to the archives after the show. Welcome. We welcome you back next week, every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You're listening to the PR Table. I'm Brother Dunlap, Adia, Brother Dewan. Y'all have a wonderful, wonderful week. God bless you, and good night.
Yeah.